let me have your attention, please. I'd like to. Yeah. I would like to lay out some ground rules in a pretty certain fashion here. Knock it off over there. The ground rules are this, or the preface to the ground rules is this. I would look for us to be able to do things like this once a week if we can do it in an orderly fashion. If it erupts into disorder, I'm sure that we'll be looked on with disfavor and we won't do them. That's my personal opinion and my guidelines to you. I want to do them and you want to do them, so let's see if we can do them orderly. Now, the president will have an opening statement.
What's your definition of order?
I'm going to tell you. The president will have an opening statement. The opening statement is on disarmament. I don't look for anything but restatement of things you've heard before. The statement is on disarmament. The president would like very much to have the questions flow in an orderly manner. The opening questions, if you have any, should be on disarmament. When that subject is exhausted, he would like to move on to another subject. He would like you to raise your hands and be recognized. It will last for 10 minutes, and I would like for Helen to cut it off on my signal.
Let me ask you a question. He would like. When we go to the regular 30-minute news conference format, we all sort of have agreed that you have set ground rules and not just something you'd like, but that you are insisting on. Well, I think you either have to say that the ground rules are these,
the ground
and the agreement of
these.
People here, or
the ground rules are these, the questions should flow, and this comes directly from the president in an orderly fashion, and we would like to, as we do in our briefings here, if you've got questions on another, want to change the subject, just simply say, is there a question, any more questions on this subject?
10 minutes.
Well,
10 minutes.
That is his preference, and I think he'd like to do it that way.
Well,
or if you don't have them, go to another subject.
What about the hand raising? Are you insisting on the president?
Okay, we're going to have to do something on the sides here with stills. Well, with everybody, you can operate on the sides, but let's don't operate forward of the edge here of the chairs. That's this group right here is going to have to back up. Reason being is you're going to block your colleagues in the back. You're going to block the cameras.
All the side room is taken by the reserve.
Why do we need 3 cutaways, 6 cutaways?
We really want to make it look good.
How many cutaways is right? Okay, we're trying for a hard start time at 1:35.
1:35 or 1:35:45? It makes a difference. We were told 1:35:45.
Okay, we got it.
Would you give us a 1 minute warning? Hey, but Larry, give us a 1 minute, that is 60 seconds warning.
Ladies and gentlemen, the President of the United States.
Ladies and gentlemen, I have a statement here, but before I begin, I just want to explain the subject of this. There has been such disarray, approaching chaos in the press corps with regard to the subject of arms control, that I thought before you unraveled into complete disorder that maybe we should straighten out the entire subject. So before taking your questions, I'll express a thought or two which are a matter of deep conviction for me with regard to arms control. These concern what we must do before we can expect to be successful, and then what principles ought to guide us in our negotiating strategy. First, it seems to me that the two factors are essential to success in arms control are leverage and determination. With respect to leverage, it's clear that when I arrived in office, there was virtually no hope that we could expect the Soviets to bargain seriously for real reductions. After all, they had all the marbles. We hadn't designed a new missile in 15 years. We hadn't built a new submarine in the same period, although they'd built more than 60. Our bombers were older than the pilots who flew them. Today, that's no longer the case. working with the Congress, we have in the past 2 years succeeded in getting authorization for a complete modernization of the triad of strategic forces, with the exception of the MX, which still requires congressional action this spring. My point is that now we're in a position to get somewhere, and I'm determined that we shall. The other quality I mentioned was determination. Recently, I've made a few management changes so that we'll have a streamlined team in place through which we can reach decisions promptly and get results in the Geneva talks. I want to say something else about my strategy toward arms control. It seems to me that if you look back over the history of the past 15 years of talks, certain things emerge. Frankly, some things have worked and others have not. Let me be specific. Some people have argued that we ought to try unilateral disarmament, that we should cut our own systems without getting anything from them in return, in the hope that our example will lead the Soviets to cut theirs. That approach has been tried on a number of occasions. For example, President Carter decided to cut the B-1 bomber, perhaps in the expectation that the Soviets would cut back on their bomber programs. It didn't work. Instead of cutting back, the Soviets went steadily ahead with the backfire and another advanced bomber. On the other hand, some things have worked. Most of you recall that in the late 60s, President Johnson tried very hard to engage the Soviets in talks on anti-ballistic missile systems. At the time, we had no deployment planned. In short, no leverage. The Soviets refused to talk. But then the United States decided to go ahead with an ABM plan. And you know the rest. When it became clear that we would go ahead with the deployment, the Soviets came to the table, and we got a treaty that still endures today. The lesson is that they will bargain when they have an incentive. And today that incentive exists, and I'm convinced that we can make real progress. It is with this thought in mind that I had an in-depth meeting yesterday on arms control with some of my arms control advisors. Next week, I'll be meeting with Ambassador Ed Rowney and Paul Nitzer. We're ready, and I'm confident with determination we can succeed. Keeping in mind our commitment to the security of Europe and to peace, and in order to ensure the closest possible coordination with our European allies on arms reductions and deterrence, I've asked Vice President Bush to go to Europe for talks with my European counterparts. And while he's there, the Vice President will meet with the Pope, Prime Minister Thatcher, Chancellor Kohl, President Mitterrand, Prime Minister Fanfani, Prime Minister Martins, and Prime Minister Lubbers, as well as with our negotiating teams in Geneva. And let there be no doubt, we're ready. We'll consider every serious proposal, and we have the determination to succeed in this, the most important undertaking of our generation. Now, any of you have questions on this subject, I think we should dispose of those first.
Do you think that it would be good to have a summit meeting with Andropov first to try to nail down what they're really proposing now, what all these new proposals mean, and are you ready for such a summit?
No, I think that since the talks are supposed to begin early in February, the first week of February, and General Rowney and Ed Nitzer are prepared to go there, I think that that takes place first, and we see then what that might lead to, or if there is a need for such a meeting. Questions on the same subject?
Well, sir, I have a question on one of the things you mentioned, the subject of disarray, if I may. There is a perception, Mr. President, that the disarray is here in the press and the White House, that you have been out of touch, that you have had to be dragged back by your staff and friends on Capitol Hill to make realistic decisions in the budget. There's even a newspaper column saying that your presidency is failing. Will you address yourself to this perception?
Yes, that's why I came in to point out to you accurately where the disarray lies. It's in those stories that seem to be going around because they are not based on fact. And I would suggest that sometimes in the you get some unnamed source information that any of us here in the White House would be willing to help you out by giving you an answer as to whether that information is correct or not.
Well, sir, specifically on the business of your staff, the stories that your staff and your friends, such as Senator Laxalt, have had to sort of drag you back from an economic game plan that was failing. Well, was it your decision to make these turns that we hear about toward new taxes, toward perhaps a different approach to cutting the budget in defense matters?
Maybe the problem is that what we're doing is a little bit new to Washington. I said from the very beginning that we had a cabinet-type government as I'd had in Sacramento, that we had a cabinet that was chosen for their ability and their knowledge and not because they controlled delegates at a convention or something, and that I would seek advice and every kind of viewpoint in arriving at decisions. Now, we've been doing that, and it's been working very well. And it is true that I ask and want to hear differing viewpoints on things. But then I make the decisions. And this has been working very well. And we've had a very heavy agenda for the last few weeks. We've been working long hours on a number of things that are before us here. And as I say, we had a very serious and a long meeting yesterday on this particular subject. But now we're getting too far away from the general subject.
Yeah.
I think it would be unwise for anyone, knowing the history of the some 19 attempts by this country to bring about arms reduction and control with the Soviet Union in the past, to make a prediction or put a time limit of any kind on this. I will say this. We will stay at a table negotiating as long as there is any chance at all of securing arms reduction, because it is the most important problem facing this generation.
Sometime after the German elections, you might explore alternative zero option.
Oh, and here you're getting dangerously into an area that can't be open to discussion, which is the tactics of negotiating and the strategy of negotiating. If you discuss that openly, then there is no strategy, and you've tied your hands with regard to attaining anything.
President, you mentioned in your opening statement the MX missile. During the campaign when you ran for office, you repeatedly ridiculed former President Carter for his failed efforts to get an MX basing plan and get the program going. How has your experience been any different than his? And how could you say that your efforts have been any more successful than his?
Well, now, if you forgive me, my criticism mainly was I was in great disagreement with his plan, not a failure to get it. I just did not believe, and from the counsel and advice that I sought and was able to get, I did not believe that such a plan was practical or that it would in any way result in more security for the weapon system.
Mr. President, a lot of the criticism which you referred to earlier when we talked about this array has centered around the fact that perhaps we've overpromised the recovery of the economy. And much of what's been written in recent days has centered on that. When they talked of disarray, and you seem to have changed your position by being described in articles as willing to think about taxes in the out years, that they're needed to bring down the deficit. All of that has contributed to this. Do you think that's unfair?
I have and will continue to say that there are still decisions to be made. We've made great progress with regard to the budget plan. I do not believe that philosophically, I have changed at all. But I'm not prepared to discuss that, and we now have left this other subject, and we should get back to it. I think that, again, this has been very inaccurate. Things that are only options being presented and on which there has been no decision. And as I say, I've asked for the widest range of options. And then I suddenly see them announced as rumor that I have made decision or I've decided on this or I'm willing to go this way or not. That is where, as I say, the leaks have been very inaccurate, and I just don't think you should place so much confidence in them.
Sir, may I follow that for a second? Since the policy on leaks was announced on Monday, the Secretary of Treasury put on record or on background virtually all of the tax measures that are being considered for the new budget. The Secretary of Defense said on television that there would be a military and civilian pay freeze, the details are open, and the Associate Attorney General revealed on the record your decision to veto the crime and one of the wilderness bills. All in all, sir, it's been a very good week for leaks and for reporters. Does this really serve any purpose?
The difference is that you were able to identify every one of those people. They didn't come and appear in your newscast or or in print as an unidentified high White House source.
If that's where the perception of you seeming to change your stand, a part of it comes from.
Well, I haven't seen the exact words of some of those statements, but I would suggest that maybe they were trying to explain away the misstatements or the assumptions that had been made.
Mr. President,
I thought for a minute I lost my job.
In addition to the secretaries, Secretary Meade and Secretary Weinberger, others have spoken publicly. The Joint Chiefs of Staff have spoken publicly about your defense budget and said that they would have preferred the cuts to be in weapons systems, not in pay and personnel that can actually hurt readiness. Doesn't this contribute to the appearance that you have backed down on your defense buildup and on your commitment not to hurt the readiness?
No, there has been, as the Secretary admitted, that there might be some slight stretching out of our readiness preparations, but we have already achieved great gains in those, so it isn't as if we were starting from scratch on that. But our preference was not to delay or set back the weapons buildups that we need in order to close the window of vulnerability. And at the same time, may I say that we think with our arms control talks, we are creating a window of opportunity here. But no, we haven't retreated from our position on that. I myself would have preferred to not have to make those. We're facing reality with what we're going to present in a budget to the Congress and what we believe can meet our problems than would be acceptable to Congress.
Was limited. On Social Security, your chief of staff has said on the record, now you would consider moving up the payroll tax increases in Social Security, the ones that have already been passed to come into back down the road. What will you do if the Social Security Commission by tomorrow does not give you any recommendations?
Well, we'll see if they're going to leave. If they're going to plan on a few more days before they come to such a decision, and we'll give them those few more days or whatever time this takes. We must resolve this problem. I know that some of the dispute centers on the subject of whether increased tax revenue should be the answer to the some 30 years imbalance of Social Security or whether it should be made with cutting some costs in other areas. And that's where they're in disagreement. I'm not going to make a choice on this until I see what the entire thing is that they recommend. There have been references to this as my commission, the presidential commission. Let me call to your attention again that I announced that it would be bipartisan and that there were three of us that would appoint. I appointed representatives. The majority leader of the Senate appointed some. The Speaker of the House appointed some. So it is a commission appointed by both sides and both the legislature and the executive branch.
But if there's no recommendation to you, don't you have to move ahead with a plan of your own in Congress this year?
Yes, then we will have to face them once again. But again, my aim in all of this has been to treat with this problem honestly and not return to the political furor that was created when we tried to bring this subject up more than a year ago, and when it was chosen, or some chose to make it a political football for political results and frightened the life out of a great many senior citizens with the thought that this, upon which they're so dependent, was going to be taken away from them. No one that I know in this government has any intention of taking away the checks that these people are getting. I've said it over and over again, but somehow it does not get as much attention as the lies that have been told by those who want to portray us as somehow out to destroy Social Security.
Thank you.
Helen, thank you very much. That's a pretty good note.
Paul Nitzig.
What?
Does he have your confidence?
Who?
Paul Nitzig.
Yes. Yes.
You don't agree that your presidency is failing, do you?
No, I look at the record, and as a matter of fact, some of your principles, at least some of your group. this morning about campaign promises that I'd made. This was printed before I took office. And we have either succeeded in keeping them or have made an effort to keep them and still been frustrated by the majority party in the House. But we've made a solid effort to get every one of these things. But I would like to just leave you now. I don't have time to answer my questions, but I just would like to put your minds back to this. Because I think this is so important, that our allies should not be, from the things that they read, be concerned about whether we're lacking in determination or whether we are indeed in disarray. We're not.
President, are the Russians turning
out praise?
But Helen's the one who then asked another question. Yeah. She said, thank you.
Why did you call her Mr. Roscoe, Mr. President?
I'm
going
to tell you.
It's all explained away, and it's in here in the statement. You're simply streamlined the management.
Come back and see us soon.
Yes, I enjoyed it. I can't get along with you.